98.3 WBIN, and as many of you know, AM 1380 WABH is your home for Westwood One Sports presentation of college football and the NFL right through Super Bowl 51. And to talk a little football, you can listen to Mike Tirico on NBC Sports Radio, the 24/7 live sports talk network, which you can listen to online at NBCSportsRadio.com and download the NBC Sports Radio mobile app today. Mike Tirico was with ESPN for 25 years. He hosted Monday Night Football with John Gruden for several years. He's now with NBC. He's NBC Sports Radio's NFL commentator. You can see Mike on NBC TV. He hosts Football Night in America Sunday night. He'll also be calling a couple select Thursday night games that will be broadcast on NFL Network with Doug Flutie. As a SU alum, it's an honor to talk to such a famous SU alum. He's the one, he's the only, Mike Tirico. Mike, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, good to speak to someone with orange roots, especially in a city that means so much of us, so much to any of us who are Syracuse alums, the great Elmira tradition and heritage. So great to catch up.
Now, Mike, I don't want to give your age, but you were what? You were class of 88?
No, I no problem giving my age. I'm 49, soon okay. to be 50, so yep. I am class of 88. My Syracuse time goes back to when I was a freshman in 1984, so I've done 32, 33 seasons of this stuff.
Well, you don't look a day over 30. You've certainly aged gracefully. So you were SU in the heyday, the 80s. The 87 team was amazing. Coach Mack, I loved him. Don McPherson, Daryl Johnston. I was there in the late 90s. Donovan McNabb, Marvin Harrison, Dwight Freeney. Still really good football. Not national championship football, but good football. Those were probably the two best periods in SU football history since Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, Larry Zonka, and like leather helmet days at Syracuse University when it comes to football. Now I just look forward to college basketball, unfortunately. I want to enjoy college football. I don't even watch college football anymore on Saturdays because it just depresses me where the orange are. I know you don't follow college football as much because you do a lot of NFL games. But as a proud alum, where have the orange gone? What do they need to do, Mike, to get back in the top 25? We see programs like TCU, Utah, Louisville, programs that have come out of no place, Houston. These are top 25 schools now. The orange, which has such proud tradition and heritage in the football program, just can't get back there. Will the orange ever get back to a top 25 team, and what do they have to do to get there?
Yeah, it's harder to now because the sport has so much speed and the natural resources not in Syracuse's backyard. You don't have players with the speed of the players from Florida and Texas there in Elmira or Binghamton or Rochester or Albany. It's a disrespect. It's just a fact. So how do you make up for that? Recruiting, style, different things like that. So if you combine the dome and the guarantee of a half dozen games a year in perfect conditions,
right,
and the style of play with this spread offense along with some speed, then you have a chance to attract people from sure. those speed states and the best people in the area. The number one thing for Syracuse to turn the football fortunes around, and I love Dino Babers, I think he's got a chance to do this. Mm-hmm. The number one thing is recruiting in the Northeast.
Right.
Can Syracuse be a big player in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, obviously anyone in New York, mm-hmm. and in Massachusetts?
Right.
And how do you appeal when you have schools in those states?
Sure.
Well, Pittsburgh's the other ACC team, but with any of those states, you can say, you can come see almost all of our games. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not playing, if you're at Rutgers, you're playing most of your games out west,
right. You know,
from New Jersey, meaning beyond Pennsylvania, Ohio and west, Ohio all the way out to Nebraska. Long haul for parents every week. So you want to appeal to that part of it.
Sure.
You do the same thing with Boston College. Hey, look, Boston College, we can out recruit them. We've got the dome. We've got better facilities for football, a deeper, richer tradition. No disrespect to my friend Doug Flutie. Pittsburgh becomes a challenge because there's such a presence. But you got to get the Northeast. You got to win the Northeast. And tell the Penn State folks the same thing as Rutgers. You don't want your kids going out to play in the Midwest. You want them playing over here on the Atlantic seaboard. So find your recruiting edge in the Northeast. Sprinkle it with kids from Florida and Texas and California. use the Newhouse School, the Communication School, the Business School, the other great programs of the university to say, these are the things that can make it happen. That plus the style of play would give them a chance. Can they be a consistent top 10 team? I think that's hard in this day and age. But a consistent 7-8 win team that has the potential every once in a while to have a 10-win season, I think they can.
I agree with you. I really like Dino, and I hope he's the guy. Of course, I thought Greg Williams was the guy, and I thought Doug Marrone was the guy. But I really like Dino. Now, I was a little nervous when he was going around saying that Jimmy Garoppolo this summer was the second coming of Dan Marino. Then I saw Super Jimmy G play for a game and a half, and I thought Dino is the man. He knows what he's talking about. We'll see. I've always said you have to have a great coach, or at least a good coach, and a great recruiter, and a quarterback. And you nailed it. You know, you've got to keep the great talent at home. Mike Hart from Syracuse, Onondaga, went to Michigan. Greg Paulus went to Duke, came back, and did play. But you can't keep everybody home, but you got to keep the cream of the crop home and play at the Dome and make it a place people want to come and play on. Make it a fast track in the Dome. Make it a special place to play that people are afraid to come to play at the Dome across the country. People fear it. It's not there, but maybe Dino can get it to that point. Speaking of quarterbacks, and I think you have to have a quarterback to turn a football program around at the college level, same thing at the NFL level. Is it too early to say Jeff Fisher and the LA Rams whiffed with Jared Goff? Carson Wentz is looking really good. Is it too early to say they made a big mistake? They might not be the Portland Trail Blazers taking Sam Bowie instead of Michael Jordan, but it's starting to look bad. But is it too early, Mike?
It's too early.
Yeah.
I just think it is. We've only played 3 weeks. Wentz looks great. He's done a terrific job pre-snap and execution after the ball is snapped. But Carson Wentz may turn out to be a good player in 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not Twitter where you have to get the immediate answer right away.
Sure.
And there's no counterbalance to it. You've got time. Well, let's see how it develops. Wentz may play 6 games, 8 games like this. He may play a whole season like this. We may see Goff mid-season. He may come in and light it up when he's ready. So,
sure.
I think the Rams have done just fine here. I wouldn't panic and say somebody won or lost this deal just yet.
Absolutely, and we've seen that in Philadelphia when Andy Reid was there. Kevin Cobb played a couple games. People thought he was going to be the next great quarterback. Didn't work out. 98.3 WVIN is your home of the Buffalo Bills in the Southern Tier. They take on the New England Patriots in Foxborough this Sunday, pregame at noon kickoff at 1 p.m. Mike, the national narrative seems to me, what I'm hearing is get rid of Rex. He doesn't know how to cultivate a quarterback. He takes up a lot of air in the room. He makes a lot of noise. He puts a big target on himself, his team, his productivity, his success. I know you've been busy prepping for the Kansas City at Pittsburgh game, the Sunday night game on NBC. But when I say the Buffalo Bills to you, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, I've seen all three of their games so far here to get started, and covered Rex a lot during his Jets time when we had them on Monday nights over the years. You know, Rex is bombastic, and Rex, as you said, makes the target on him bigger because he talks big. Has Rex Ryan ever had an offense that's developed and allowed a quarterback to develop? I'd say when you look back, the answer is mostly no. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Mark Sanchez did get to 2 AFC championship games. Those were with a defensive team that really managed the ball. I think offensively this team looks a little more dynamic than other Rex Ryan teams. I know they made the change of coordinator. They hit some big plays in that last game against the Jets on the Thursday night game where they scored over 30 and had nearly 500 yards, and then the coordinator got fired. Yep. They look good against Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback who, with he and McCoy and health on the outside, if Sammy Watkins can be healthy, I think this could be a good offense. So I wouldn't say that the Bills are in dire straits. What they need, and I think what Rex Ryan needs in this era of his coaching, is stability. Sure. It doesn't have to be big headlines, grab big attention. How about we go out and just play solid football week in, week out? I think there's enough talent there to do this.
Yep.
You don't need to, you know, make it a big sales job here. So early in the season, massive win for them against Arizona. New England's a challenge, but again, it will be either Garoppolo or Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. What kind of pressure can you put on them? What kind of looks can you give them? If you can get a win like this, you're right in the middle of the playoff race after a month, a 2-2 with a win over the Patriots. So very, very early to say he's a guy who should be fired. I happen to think NFL coaches get fired too quickly these sure. days. I'd preach a little more patience.
On the phone with us, Mike Tirico from NBC Sports. He is part of the Football Night in America broadcast Sunday nights on NBC. He'll be doing select Thursday night games on the NFL Network with Doug Flutie this year. Mike, you and I are at similar stages in our life, similar ages. Growing up, I saw Don Shula, Bill Walsh, Bill Parcells, Joe Gibbs, Tom Landry a little bit before my time. Bill Belichick is trying to go 4-0 without Tom Brady. I think everybody that's a Patriots hater was laughing, couldn't wait for these four games that Brady was going to be suspended for. Thought the Patriots would fall flat on their face, go 0-4, maybe get one win. This is going to show that Bill Belichick isn't that great of a coach. He just has Tom Brady. He's going for 4-0. He's gone through Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett. He seems to win with anybody. This is a tough question, but is Bill Belichick the greatest of all time? I know that Vince Lombardi's name is on the trophy, but could the Magic Hoodie be the greatest of all time?
He's right up there. You know, I don't think there's anything that determines the best ever unless the person is clearly dominant compared to others, mm-hmm. like Michael Jordan was,
right.
Wayne Gretzky was. You just mentioned four or five coaches that belong in that same breath with Belichick. Mm-hmm. So to sit here and say Bill Belichick is the best ever, I guarantee it, is a little crazy.
Sure.
You got to remember the Cleveland days, but those are growth days. What he's done here with the Patriots and with the different people and more of the style of managing in a time when it's more difficult to build something,
mm-hmm.
I think those are the greatest things that would put him, if not even with slightly above the other coaches who've won just as much. If I'm making a list of four or five, I guarantee he's on it.
Mike, not many people are probably going to really care about this answer other than me. This is kind of an inside the biz question, just kind of a personal, professional curiosity. But, I seem to have to put in a lot of time, you know, getting ready for my high school sports broadcast, you know, keeping the stats myself, whether it's the third downs and the fourth downs and the red zones and the first downs and the turnovers, all that sort of stuff, the player stats, the history, digging up articles, Googling, trying to find information on their opponents each given week. It seems to be time-consuming, and I wonder sometimes, geez, am I doing something wrong? Because this takes up a lot of my time for me to feel as prepared as I need to be. And I asked this of John Murphy, the voice of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I think a lot of people think you guys just plop down, put the headset on, and roll, and you just have statisticians and assistants just feeding you stuff. But guys like you that are so prepared, that are so good, that are so smooth, that make it look like you just sit down, are grinders. You guys work. You make sure you know your stuff so that you sound like you know your stuff. How many hours in a given game week do you put in to prepare for a broadcast?
Yeah, I'd say a game week probably is something in the neighborhood of 60 or 70 hours for a 3.5-hour football game.
Yep.
And that includes the time you spend with the teams.
Yep.
On Saturday and Sunday for a Monday, or Friday and Saturday for Sunday. That also includes the time of self-evaluation, go back and watch the game from the week before. How can we do this better? What can we do differently? How can we be more efficient as a team? I think when you have teams that are covered so well
mm-hmm.
in the pros, there's such a volume of information out there.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you have to be familiar with that, all of it.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's a fun process. It's,
yep.
it's an arduous process.
Sure.
It's not physically tiring, but
right.
it takes a lot of time. But you want to make sure that you do the right thing for both sets of fans because you're the home broadcaster
yep.
for both teams.
Yes.
Plus the broadcaster for those who don't have any skin in the game. So you accept the challenge. You know that there's immediate criticism if you do something wrong. So a lot of preparation, but also a lot of fun. Nothing like doing a football game.
On the phone with us, Mike Tirico from NBC Sports. We're running out of time. Two-minute drill here, Mike. We'll do four downs. I'll ask you four questions. First thing that comes to the top of your mind, just shoot it out.
Okay.
First down, if Mike Tirico couldn't be a great play-by-play guy and be a sports broadcaster, what would Mike Tirico be doing today?
I'd love to be running political campaigns. That was my other major at Syracuse, political science. I love politics, great interest in it. I'd love to be a political campaign director.
Second down, you've done play-by-play for a lot of sports, NBA, golf, tennis, college football, NFL, where you're probably most well-known. So let's stick with that. You've worked with a lot of great color commentators. Who's somebody you've not had a chance to work with that you'd love to be able to do a game with one day?
Maybe Aikman. Now that I've worked with Collinsworth in a couple of preseason games, I've always been a fan of Troy's. I like him as a person. I like his style. Troy might be the guy.
All right. Third down. You've done a lot of different games, as I just mentioned, NBA, college football, NFL. You've done the Olympics. What's one event you'd love to be able to do again, or one that you haven't had the opportunity to do? I think I know what it is, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
I'll go the haven't done one, since all of them have been good. I've been blessed to do a whole bunch. Obviously, call a Super Bowl. I've been part of the pregame shows, either host or call a Super Bowl somewhere down the line. But the Indy 500, I just think that's a great event and a wonderful place. And one of those things that's been around for 100 years. So Indy might be that one.
And finally, probably the most impossible question, best memory, favorite broadcast that you've ever done?
Probably a tie between the John Vandeveld British Open, where he blew the lead on the 18th hole and took a 7 when he had an easy chance to win it, and the return of the New Orleans Saints to the Superdome that they just celebrated the 10th anniversary of on Monday night. Those two are individual broadcasts that just stick out for me as incredibly satisfying to be a part of.
Mike, great job. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. When I was at WAER at Syracuse University, my motto, be like Mike, not Jordan, but Tirico. You're as smooth as they come, partner. Thanks so much. It was an honor and a privilege to get you on and talk a little Syracuse football with an alum. Not many people want to talk Syracuse football these days. Thanks so much. It was fun picking your brain. Best of luck. Football Night in America, Sunday nights on NBC, and your calls of the Thursday night games on the NFL Network with Doug Flutie this year. Thanks, Mike, for coming on.
Well, it's kind of you. Thank you very much. Good to talk to the folks in good upstate New York, and go Orange.
All right. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. And you can listen to Mike Tirico on NBC Sports Radio, the 24/7 live sports talk network, which can be heard at NBCSportsRadio.com, and download the NBC Sports Radio mobile app today. And Mike is NBC Sports Radio's NFL expert and analyst. It's 98.3 WVIN.